All right. So chapter two, this is Bob Clough, chapter two out of SOS. Chapter two is ABC, origin of our emotions and behavior. So the ABCs of our emotions. It starts off with a picture that shows a gentleman. It looks like he's sitting maybe next to a wall, and there's a little sign next to him that says, "I didn't learn my ABCs. Thank you." All right, so we need to learn and practice the ABCs of our emotions. A's are activating events or unpleasant situations which we encounter. So A is activating events. B's are beliefs, our beliefs, and self-talk statements, or what we silently tell ourselves about these activating events. C's are our consequences, both emotional and behavioral. These consequences include anxiety, anger, depression, and other unpleasant feelings, and our behaviors. Unpleasant emotions and behaviors result mainly from our self-defeating beliefs and self-talk statements rather than from the actual unpleasant events and situations in our lives. That's an important statement. Unpleasant emotions and behaviors result mainly from our self-defeating beliefs and self-talk statements rather than the actual unpleasant events and situations in our lives. SOS teaches us how to improve our emotions and behaviors. It does this by using the self-help methods from cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, and rational emotive behavioral therapy. This approach to helping people was pioneered by Dr. Albert Ellis and other therapists to help their clients cope with anxiety, anger, depression, and other troublesome emotions and behaviors. Understanding and practicing self-help methods from rational emotive behavioral therapy, REBT, will improve our emotional intelligence, enabling us to live more successfully and enjoyably. From the prior chapter, we learned that emotional intelligence consists of five things. Number one, knowing our emotions. Number two, managing our emotions. Number three, recognizing emotions in others. Number four, managing relationships with others. And number five, motivating ourselves to achieve our goals. So again, knowing our emotions, managing our emotions, recognizing emotions in others, managing relationships with others, and motivating ourselves to achieve our goals. For happy, effective living, our emotional intelligence may matter more than our general intelligence. And then they just explain REBT. So REBT, R is rational, which is thinking. E is emotive, which is feeling. B is behavior, which is behaving. And T is therapy, which is help. REBT is help for thinking, feeling, and behaving. What is rational emotive behavior therapy? This therapy focuses on improving three realms of our lives: rational, emotive, and behavioral. Rational means thinking, reasoning, and cognition. Emotive means emotions, mood, and feelings. Behavior is the behaving and acting part of you. People spend their lives thinking, feeling, and behaving. Most of the time, many people engage in these activities happily and successfully. Unfortunately, some people spend much of their time thinking crookedly or irrationally, and as a result, feel miserable and behave in self-defeating ways. A desirable objective is to spend the vast majority of our days, months, and years feeling contented and successful. And there's a picture here called The Thinker. It has like a thought cloud. If you are pained by an external thing, it is not the thing that disturbs you, but your own judgment about it. So rational emotive behavior therapy, or rational emotive therapy for short, was originated by psychologist Dr. Albert Ellis in the 1950s. Current researchers and therapists continue to refine REBT and expand its applications for helping people. Ellis is considered by contemporary psychotherapists to be the grandfather of cognitive behavioral therapy, a research-based therapy recognized and practiced internationally. In parentheses, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y. 2016. Don't let the long name of rational emotive behavior therapy concern you. REBT is practical, straightforward, easily understood, and effective in helping people manage their emotions. It enables you to take responsibility for your emotions and to stop blaming other people, the world, or misfortunes for your continuing anger or depression. For this reason, REBT is sometimes called the no cop-out, no excuses therapy. I view rational emotive behavior therapy as the most valuable self-help therapy for emotions offered by psychologists and psychiatrists. From SOS, you can expect to learn useful methods and insights for improving your thinking and feeling, as well as to become more successful in attaining your goals. Let's begin by learning the ABCs of our emotions. And here's a picture of a gentleman holding looks like a sign, like a protest sign. It says, "People are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them." And that's a quote from a man named Epictetus. Not sure the pronunciation. Might be Epictetus, something like that. Our beliefs and views of the world determine our emotions, feelings, and behavior. Epictetus, a Greek philosopher who lived 2,000 years ago, about 55-135 AD, announced, in quotes, "People are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them, of those things." All right, next heading is ABCs of our thinking, feeling, and behaving. Our emotional upsetness is caused largely, but not entirely, by our self-harming beliefs and silent self-talk statements about events and situations, rather than by the actual events and situations themselves. The ABCs of rationally motive behavior therapy illustrate the primary cause of our emotions. A's are the activating events, actual events, or assumed sources of our stress. The A's include locking ourselves out of the car, receiving a D on a test, being stood up for a date, failing to get an expected promotion, and experiencing the many other inevitable disappointments and hard knocks of life. When you attempt to describe a past activating event to yourself, describe the event as video camera would record it and play it back. In addition to current events, A's can also include thoughts of past events, such as the memory of being rejected by someone you loved, or remembering a humiliating experience from your adolescence. In addition to memories of situations, A's can include our thoughts about the future, anticipated events or situations such as planning to ask our boss for a raise or waiting in the doctor's office for an injection of antibiotic. Activating events are situations which you remember or currently experience, or future events which concern you. So in the previous page, it had a box which is entitled, "What are activating events?" So just kind of a review, it looks like it has five bullets. The first bullet says, activating events activate, stimulate, and awaken our thinking, beliefs, and silent self-talk statements. They are the adversities, frustrations, and stressors in our lives. Bullet number two, activating events can be in the past, present, or future, anticipated. Bullet three, activating events can be real or imagined. Bullet four, an activating event can be a single, isolated situation or a continuing, unpleasant happening or disappointment. And bullet five, an activating event can be a bad event that did occur or a good event that didn't occur, a disappointment. Why are A's called activating events? A's are activating events because they activate, stimulate, and awaken our thinking, our system of rational and irrational beliefs, our silent self-talk statements, and our internal dialogue. Individuals continually engage in inner speech, internal dialogue, automatic sentences, and self-talk with themselves. These self-talk statements are nearly automatic and are at a low level of awareness. With this internal dialogue, we debate different courses of possible action and determine our feelings and emotional reactions to events and situations. B's are our self-harming beliefs and silent self-talk statements, what we tell ourselves about activating events and situations. There are two major types of beliefs and self-talk. The first, rational beliefs and self-talk, are self-helping, coping, and adaptive statements which lead to emotional health. So the first is rational beliefs. The second, irrational beliefs and self-talk, are self-harming, self-defeating, maladaptive internal statements which lead to emotional upsetness. Irrational beliefs lead to anxiety, anger, depression, and to a feeling of not being in control of our emotions. Rational beliefs lead to less disturbed emotions such as concern, displeasure, annoyance, or sadness. Also, rational beliefs help us to cope more effectively, to get more of what we want in life, and to gain more contentment. The language of rational beliefs and self-talk is usually cool or warm in emotional tone rather than hot or volatile. Beliefs and self-talk statements include, number one, irrational beliefs and self-talk statements, and number two, rational beliefs and self-talk statements. Let's look at examples of irrational beliefs and self-talk. After a frustrating experience, you might say to yourself, "That should not have happened. It was awful, and I couldn't stand it." Or you might say, "She has no right to treat me so unfairly, and since she is, that makes me feel worthless, like scum." Irrational beliefs intensify our emotional upsetness and lead to increased anxiety, anger, and depression, as well as maladaptive behavior. Our irrational beliefs sap our mental energy and hinder us from finding creative solutions to our problems. What are examples of using rational beliefs and self-talk? A person might say, "I wish that bad situation hadn't happened, but it did happen, and I can stand it." Or in the second example, someone might say, she is treating me unfairly, and I dislike being treated that way. But being treated shabbily doesn't make me worthless or less valuable as a person. We are responsible for the language we use when talking with ourselves and others. Our self-talk can help us see our problems clearly, or our self-talk can obscure and delay finding solutions to problems and intensify our unhealthy, unpleasant emotions. The self-talk of generally contented and successful people contains many rational beliefs and statements, even when they experience unpleasant, stressful situations. As mentioned, rational beliefs contain cool or warm language rather than emotionally charged, hot language. We have looked at A's and B's, now let's look at C's. C's, or consequences, are emotions and behaviors that result from our beliefs and self-talk statements. Emotions and behaviors are consequences of our beliefs and self-talk. On the previous page, they had a little, like, box quote by I.E. Farber, and the quote is, "The one thing psychologists can count on is that their clients will talk to themselves, and not infrequently, whether relevant or irrelevant, the things people say to themselves determine the rest of the things they do." Again, that's I.E. Farber, F-A-R-B-E-R. And then on page 28, they have like a picture. The first part is crooked thinking, common sense view of emotions, and it goes directly from A to C. And then at the bottom, it says straight thinking, accurate view of emotions, and it goes from A to B to C. So the top one, again, crooked thinking, going from A to C, erroneously believing A causes C. A is the activating event. You are criticized by your boss. C is the consequences, emotional and behavior. So you get anxiety, anger, and depression. So the bottom, which is straight thinking, going from A to B to C, activating event, you're criticized by your boss. And then B is you have irrational beliefs. He had no right to talk to me this way, and I can't stand it, which results in the emotions and behavior consequences, anxiety, anger, and depression. Or you can have rational beliefs under letter B. I don't like the way he's talking to me, but I can stand it. And then the emotional and behavioral consequences are lack of significant emotional distress, only mild annoyance. So yeah, it depends on that, how we handle it, our beliefs and self-talk under B. So on 29, page 29, we got emotional consequences include anxiety, anger, and depression, and other unpleasant emotions. But emotional consequences can include positive emotions such as happiness and contentment. Behavioral consequences can be positive and self-helping, or our behaviors can be negative, self-harming, self-downing, and maladaptive. Verbally exploding or getting back at a supervisor or coworker after feeling frustrated can be a self-destructive behavioral consequence of our frustration. Which characterizes you, crooked thinking or straight thinking? Straight thinking is acknowledging that events and situations influence us, but that our rational and irrational beliefs and self-talk statements influence us much more. Straight thinking is recognizing that our B's, which is beliefs and self-talk statements, mainly cause our C's, consequences like emotional and behavioral. Straight thinking is A hyphen B hyphen C thinking. So A goes to B goes to C. Be a straight thinker rather than a crooked thinker. Straight thinkers have more fun in life and less distress. Then they have a nice picture on the bottom of 29, which just shows straight thinking versus crooked thinking. And crooked thinking actually is demonstrated by a crooked line going from A to B, or A to C, sorry. So crooked thinking, crooked line going from A to C. And the A is the activating event, and then C is the consequence, which is emotional and behavioral. Straight thinking, ABC thinking, is a straight line, goes from A, activating event, to B, beliefs and self-talk, to C, consequences, which are emotional and behavioral. So page 30, crooked thinking, also called AC thinking, is believing that we have little or no ability to influence our feelings and that events and situations directly cause our emotions and behavior. Many unhappy people, awash in their emotions of anxiety, anger, and depression, despairingly claim that unpleasant events cause their feelings and that they are powerless to soothe their feelings and improve events in their lives. They have lost awareness of their irrational beliefs and self-talk statements since these beliefs and statements have become so rapid, automatic, and habitual. As an early Greek philosopher said, people are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them. As well as feeling miserable, people who think crooked are less able to achieve their short and long-term goals. Practice mindfulness. Be mindful of your rational and irrational thoughts, beliefs, and self-talk. People are born with potential for engaging in both crooked and straight thinking and behaving in both self-defeating and self-helping ways. Ellis, 1994. Some people live continuously in self-imposed misery, endlessly repeating the same mistakes in day-to-day living. However, they can learn to live more successfully and happily if they first straighten out their irrational beliefs and self-talk. Effectively learning SOS involves practicing its methods and concepts. Get a pencil and paper and copy the straight thinking versus crooked thinking illustration, then set SOS aside and reproduce it from memory. To live more contently and effectively requires knowledge of the straight thinking taught in SOS and a self-analysis of your ABCs. Practicing and applying the ABC method in your own life is necessary. Take increased responsibility for creating and managing your feelings of anxiety, anger, depression, and other unpleasant feelings. Spend less time blaming people and events out of your control. All right, so on page 31, crooked thinking is stinking thinking. So crooked thinking is stinking thinking. Interesting. Next heading is three major musts. Harmful, irrational beliefs. So three major musts, M-U-S-T-S. As we go through life, we have thousands of thoughts each day. Some of these thoughts get us into emotional trouble. Which ones do we need to change? Albert Ellis, the founder of Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy, has identified the core irrational beliefs leading to emotional difficulties. Let's look at the most common irrational beliefs and self-talk statements which cause us so much misery. Three major musts, : irrational self-talk. So number one, I must. Number two, you, he or she must. And number three, the world and the conditions under which I live must. So these are the three major musts. Again, the most common irrational beliefs and self-talk. We largely cause and intensify our anxiety, depression, and anger by believing specific irrational beliefs and repeating resulting self-talk statements to ourselves. These self-talk statements demand that things be different. We place these demands on ourselves, on others, or on the world and conditions under which we live. These irrational beliefs are demands that I, others, or the world must be different, and I, others, or the world are not different. Oh, I'm sorry. And if I, others, and the world are not different, then that is awful. I can't stand it. And then I will be anxious, angry, or depressed. Few people are completely aware of their irrational beliefs because these beliefs are partly unconscious. So page 32 looks like an example, and it's entitled Best in Sales. So Bill, a 35-year-old successful car salesperson, believed, I must always be best in sales at the auto dealership, and if I am not, as I absolutely must be, then I can't stand it, and then I will always be second or third rate, and that would mean I am worthless. I couldn't stand myself. Others wouldn't respect me, and I wouldn't respect myself. Bill functioned under so much threat each day that when he arrived at work, he was apprehensive, on edge, and easily annoyed. And when he left work, he continued feeling the same way. At home, he was grumpy, easily irritated, and withdrew from his wife and children. Bill's demand that he absolutely must be the best car salesperson is directed toward himself because he believes the first major must, I must. If instead Bill placed rigid demands on his boss to provide him with a better office or to advertise more, then he would be clinging to the second major must, you must. The second major must or demand usually leads to feelings of anger at the other person. If Bill's self-talk rigidly demanded that selling cars be easier, less competitive, and more financially rewarding, he would then be adhering to the third major must, the world and the conditions under which I live must. When shoulds are used like the three major musts, the shoulds are called absolute shoulds, and they are likewise harmful to our emotions. For example, if you are upset with a coworker and tell yourself, he must treat me with respect, and if he doesn't, as he absolutely should, he should be damned. The words ought and has to, when used as absolute demands, also serve in the same harmful way as musts and absolute shoulds. People who have an inherent tendency to escalate their wishes and preferences into musts, absolute shoulds, and demands, which they place on themselves, others, and the world. Let me say that again. So people have an inherent tendency to escalate their wishes and preferences into musts, absolute shoulds, and demands, which they place on themselves, others, and the world. These people then become miserable when others and the world don't comply with their rigid demands to change. It's irrational to believe the world will change to fit your needs and demands. Modify your self-talk and avoid shoulding or musting on yourself. So another little box here says three absolute shoulds, irrational self-talk. Number one, I absolutely should. Number two, You absolutely should. And number three, the world and the conditions under which I live absolutely should. So Loretta, a bright graduate student, obtained almost straight A's in her college classes. On one particular exam in my class, she received a B. The next day when we happened to meet in the hallway, her eyes flashed. She angrily walked up to me, burst into tears, and then abruptly walked off. Even though she hadn't said any words, she clearly communicated to me her upset feelings. Later, she told me that her self-talk was, "You have been unfair, and you mustn't have given me a B." Loretta was adhering to the second major must. For the next exam, she worked harder and earned an A. We were both relieved that she earned that A. So a box here says, do not should on yourself. Only preferring or wishing that we or others be different and working toward improvement and change is healthy. Again, instead of musting or shoulding, we're just saying only preferring or wishing that we or others be different and working toward improvement and change is healthy. When we refuse to live with and accept the world as it is, and instead place absolute rigid demands on ourselves and the world, we suffer emotional problems. They have a picture of a woman pulling a suitcase. It says the three major musts, carrying excess emotional baggage. Yeah, so she's going to Concourse B, but she has a box in her hand says you must, and her purse it says I must, and then her luggage says the world must. I sure have a lot of problems. Most of the time I feel anxious and tense, angry and, looks like she's cussing, and depressed at a lot. My counselor says I am causing myself to get upset by my self-talk, but I don't want to believe that. That's the caption for the picture. So believing the three major musts and using them in your self-talk is a primary cause of emotional distress. These three basic musts are I must, you must, and the world and conditions under which I live must. Practice giving up these irrational beliefs. Traveling through life is difficult, even without a lot of excess emotional baggage. So I may leave out some of the boxes and pictures from here on out just to kind of wrap this up. I'll let you know when there's a picture. For practice, set SOS aside, get a pen and paper, and list the three musts or shoulds for memory. There is a picture that lists the five hot connecting links, connecting our three major musts to our emotions. One is condemnation and damnation. Number two, I can't stand it-itis. Number three, awfulization or awfulizing. And number four, I'm worthless. And number five, always and never. So I have a little box that talks about taking a look at six cognitive behavioral therapy interviews at www.sosprograms.com/6videos page. See the devastating effects of irrational beliefs on people's lives. All right, page 36. Blaming or making rigid demands on others, the world, and oneself is the core of most emotional problems. Also, we waste a lot of time waiting for the world to meet our demands. We have to deal with the world as it is, not as we wish it were. So, five hot connecting links, harmful core irrational beliefs. That's the next heading. Five hot connecting links, colon, harmful core irrational beliefs. Next, let's look at the five hot connecting links and the role they play in shaping our emotions. When people fail to have their musts, shoulds, and other demands met, they tend to create hot links. The five hot connecting links are also destructive, irrational beliefs, and self-talk statements. The hot links work in conjunction with our major musts and absolute shoulds, connecting our musts and shoulds to anxiety, anger, and depression. Let's see how the musts and hot links operate together in our thinking and silent self-talk. Phyllis believes, the world must give me what I want, when I want it, and if it doesn't, it's an awful place and I can't stand it. She is believing the third major must and hot links 1 and 2. When she tells herself the third major must, the world must give me what I want, she will upset herself. However, when she follows that must with two hot links, number one, and if it doesn't give me what I want, it's an awful place. And number two, I can't stand it. She upsets herself a great deal more. We cause ourselves considerable anxiety, anger, and depression when we join our musts and our hot links. The links are called hot because they contain volatile emotional language causing strong, unhealthy emotions. Let's look closely at commonly used hot links. Number one, condemnation and damnation of self or others. Condemning and damning is wishing punishment and ruin upon yourself, others, or life conditions. This self-talk creates increased anger and sometimes violent behavior towards others. Condemning yourself is self-downing and creates depression. Swearing is, of course, condemning and damning. An example is saying to yourself, that blankety-blank driver ahead of me is blankety-blank and ought to be taken out and shot. As mentioned in Chapter 1, anger is harmful to one's emotions as well as one's cardiovascular system. Accept yourself, others, and the world as fallible and complex, and avoid giving a single overall rating, such as damnation. Number 2, I can't stand it, itis. This self-talk exclaims, I can't stand any discomfort, frustration, anxiety, anger, or depression. I can't survive or be happy at all if I have to endure these unpleasant feelings. I absolutely refuse to accept feeling uncomfortable. It is an exaggeration for people to say that they couldn't stand a particular event because they did not, in fact, die. Although the event was indeed inconvenient or unpleasant, they survived and continued to live. Sometimes people say they can't stand something when, in fact, they have put up with it for years. Tanya used to say to herself, I'll just die if my professor calls on me. Although a professor occasionally did call on her, she never did die. I can't stand it itis creates LFT, low frustration tolerance. Low frustration tolerance creates heightened feelings of frustration. Low frustration tolerance, or LFT, saps our endurance for solving problems and achieving our goals, causing anxiety, anger, and depression. LFT causes us to become irritable with ourselves and with others. Students with LFT readily become discouraged and give up when their studies become difficult. So then in a box at the bottom of 37, it says, I can't stand it itis causes low frustration tolerance, which causes heightened frustration, which causes anxiety, anger, and depression. So again, I can't stand it itis causes low frustration tolerance, which causes heightened frustration, which causes anxiety, anger, and depression. All right, so number 3 is awfulization. Awfulizing. Sounds like a waffle. Awful. Awfulizing. Saying that something is awful is saying that something is more than 100% bad and usually dangerous and life-threatening. How would you respond if you were asked, what is something that is 100% bad, the worst thing that could happen that you could imagine? People usually respond with something like, being with someone I love and we are killed or seriously maimed in an accident. If that event is awful, 100% bad, how would you rate losing your job, failing a course, or being overdrawn on your checking account? Reserve awfulizing for truly awful and dangerous events. Unless something is 100% bad, and very few things are, also avoid the hot, self-downing language of horribleizing, terribleizing, and catastrophizing, or HTA. Horribleizing, terribleizing, and catastrophizing. When talking with yourself about an upsetting situation, try substituting the emotionally cool words bad, inconvenient, hassle, or unpleasant for hot words such as horrible, terrible, and awful. So number 4, I'm worthless. I'm worthless means I'm no good at all and have absolutely no use or value. We are all fallible, and we are all a mixture of good and bad qualities. Realistically, it's not possible for a person to be 100% rotten. Using the I'm worthless hot link leads to low self-acceptance, or LSA, low self-esteem, depression, and shame. When talking with yourself, avoid assigning yourself a negative overall evaluation. Number 5, always and never. Always and never is believing that this person who is behaving badly or this unpleasant situation which is irritating me will always be this way and will never change. It's not realistic to believe that a situation or person will always be a particular way and will never change. Your emotional reaction to a person or situation certainly can change. Using always and never self-talk creates anxiety, anger, and depression. So there's a box that has a little statement. It says, learn what you are saying when you talk to yourself. Here lies the key to your emotions. So learn what you are saying when you talk to yourself. This is the key to your emotions. Then there's another box that says CIA and then IA. So code for hot links. So CIA is condemnation and damnation. The I is I can't stand it itis. The A is awfulizing. And then the other IA is I'm worthless and always and never. So CIA, IA is a useful way to remember the 5 hot links. CIA, IA. Condemnation, damnation, I can't stand it itis, awfulizing. And then I'm worthless and always and never. So you could just do 2 I's and 2 A's. I can't stand it itis, I'm worthless and awfulizing and always and never. So when you are upset about something, listen closely to what you are telling yourself, especially listen for your musts and shoulds, and then listen for your use of the 5 hot links. Most self-imposed misery can be traced to people combining the 3 musts and hot links. Whining is when you frequently repeat hot links to yourself and others. For practice, set the SOS aside, get a pen and paper, and list names of the five hot links from memory. The five hot links begin with the letters CIA, IA. So condemning and damnation, I can't stand it, itis. The other I is I'm worthless. And then the A's are awfulizing and always and never, yeah. That's kind of tough. Let's look closer at the connection between the hot links, our musts and shoulds, and our emotions. The diagram, How Self-Talk Causes Emotions, shows the relationship between musts, hot links, and emotions. Both the three major musts and the five hot connecting links are irrational beliefs and self-talk statements which cause and increase the unpleasant, unhealthy emotions of anxiety, anger, and depression. Yeah, so go ahead and take a look at page 40. They have those connections between those three items. And again, the items are the top three major musts, irrational self-talk, and then the five hot links in the middle. And then the bottom is unhealthy, unpleasant emotions, anxiety, anger, depression. So on page 40, almost done. So preferential shoulds are harmless, unlike absolute shoulds. Preferential shoulds are preferences contain cool self-talk language and don't create hot links, like awfulizing, I can't stand it, I just condemnation and damnation. In quotes, I should go to the grocery store and get milk since we are running low, is a preferential should statement. Avoid making absolute should statements when talking with yourself. To learn more about the basic nature of people as viewed by rational emotive behavioral therapy, see chapter 13, Information for Counselors. So we have two boxes here, and then we're done. Just the major points to remember. The first box, to straighten out your emotions, first straighten out your beliefs and self-talk. The second box is the road to repeated failures in life is paved with irrational self-talk and beliefs. So main points to remember, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bullets. The first bullet, SOS teaches how to use rational emotive behavior therapy, or REBT, and the ABC view of our emotions to help us achieve increased contentment in our goals. Bullet number two, ABCs explain the source of our emotions. A is the activating event. B is our beliefs and self-talk, and C is the consequence in terms of emotions and behavior. Bullet three, our emotional upsetness is caused mainly by our irrational beliefs, automatic thoughts, and silent self-talk statements rather than by actual events and situations. Bullet four, crooked thinkers believe that A's or events and situations primarily determine our C's, our behavior, anxiety, depression, and anger. So anxiety, anger, depression. Bullet five, straight thinkers know that A's, events, and situations influence us, but that our B's, rational beliefs and irrational beliefs and self-talk statements, influence us more, much more. Bullet six, insisting on three basic musts, I must, you must, and the world and the conditions under which I live must, causes us to become anxious, angry, and depressed. Must nots, absolute shoulds, should nots, oughts, and has to are all harmful self-talk statements when used as absolute demands that you, others in the world, be different. And the last bullet is the five hot links are also irrational self-talk statements. These include condemnation and damnation, I can't stand it, itis, awfulizing, I'm worthless, and always and never. That CIAIA is a useful code to remember the five hot links. So to finish, it just says be a straight thinker rather than a crooked thinker. Straight thinkers have more fun in life and less distress. Deal with the world as it is, not as it must be. And then when you are upset, look for the must. Look for the should. Okay, that's it. That ends chapter two, which is ABC origin of our emotions and behavior. The ABC origin. Thanks. God bless you guys. Bye.